What's up, guys? This is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. We are going to do our Cleveland Browns versus Pittsburgh Steelers breakdown and quick preview here. The Browns and the Steelers. Browns sitting at 7-8. The Steelers sitting at 7-1. Browns are in fourth place in the AFC North currently, and the Steelers are in third place in the division. Both teams can still win the AFC North if a few things happen. Obviously, this is a win and hopefully stay alive game for both of the teams, but the loser of this game will be out of any playoff contention, wild card, or most especially the AFC North. This game will be Monday Night Football. It will be on ESPN. You can watch the regular version, or you can watch the Manning cast, which will be on the other ESPN, I believe ESPN2. Currently, the Browns are a 3-point favorite. At last check, I'm recording this Wednesday night at about 7 o'clock. So at last check, Browns are a 3-point favorite. Now, obviously, you can always watch our shows. This is another Youngstown Studio production. You can listen on any of the podcast platforms. Let's get into the Browns defense versus the Steelers offense. Now, this could very well be Ben Roethlisberger, his last game at Heinz Field. He has had a phenomenal career, longest player to ever play with one team that I can think of. I could be wrong on that, but I believe all 18 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Drafted out of Miami of Ohio from Findlay, Ohio, obviously has a lot of Ohio ties and a lot of Ohio roots, and really has dominated the Cleveland Browns over the course of his career, including most recently on Halloween when they went into Cleveland and beat the Browns. And it was a ugly game from both teams, but the Steelers were able to get it done late and win that game 15-10. The Browns did, you know, as we all know, go into Heinz Field in the wild card game, 7-2, and, you know, just come out to a 28-0 lead in the first quarter and ended up winning that game 48-37. And we all remember the lasting images of Roethlisberger on the bench, you know, with tears in his eyes. We all thought that might be it. He comes back this year. You know, you got to give him credit. He has... You know, this Steelers team isn't a great team, but they find ways to get it done. Now, last week, they just got handled by Kansas City, got beaten every facet of the game, and were just destroyed in that game. And the Steelers have not looked great in many, many games this year. But again, they know how to kind of muddy the waters. Mike Tomlin always has them ready to go. And really, the Steelers have laid a few eggs this season, but they have bounced back and made some games ugly after that. You know, and maybe teams they shouldn't have beat or shouldn't have been in the game with, they've hung close. So let's look at the Browns defense. Currently, scoring defense 17th in the NFL, allowing basically 22 points a game. The Steelers offense is scoring about 20.1 points a game, which is 22nd in the NFL. Browns give up about 321 yards total, which is pretty good, 7th overall in the league. The Steelers are averaging about 315 yards, which is, once again, 22nd in the NFL. The Browns, the rush defense is 10th best in the league, allowing about 106 yards per game. The Steelers only run the ball for about 88 yards a game, which is 4th worst in the NFL. The Browns pass defense gives up about 215 yards per game, which is 8th best in the league. And the Steelers passing offense, sort of right in the middle of the pack there, 243 yards a game. The Steelers have a -1 turnover differential on the season. The Browns defense has 18 takeaways, 12 interceptions, 6 forced fumbles, and they average about 2.5 sacks a game, which is 10th best in the league, obviously led by Myles Garrett, who has 15 sacks on his own this season. All right, let's flip the switch. Let's go to offense for the Browns, defense for the Steelers. The Browns score about 21 points a game, which is 19th in the league. The Steelers defense gives up about 24.7 points per game, which is 22nd overall. The Browns put up about 345 yards per game, which is right in the middle, 16th in the NFL. The Steelers, yards allowed, they give up 368 yards per game, which is 7th worst in the NFL. Rushing yards per game, the Browns are pretty solid, 3rd best in the league at 145 yards a game. The Steelers are the worst, which is so surprising. You think of Pittsburgh, you think Steel Curtain, you think good running game. Well, they don't run the ball very well on offense, and they don't stop the ball rushing very well on defense either. So the Steelers are averaging 143 yards given up per game on the ground, which is the worst in the NFL. That I'd have to check that. I can't imagine another Steelers team has been that bad in that category for a long time. The Browns are not a great passing team this year, only passing it for about 217 yards a game, which is 8th worst in the league. And the Steelers are pretty decent against the pass. They only give up about 243 yards per game, which is 13th best in the NFL. The Browns' turnover differential is even on the season, so they have as many takeaways as they've given it away. The Steelers have forced 17 turnovers on defense this year, 9 interceptions, 8 recovered fumbles, and they average 2.9 sacks per game, which is 4th best. Now, just looking at these numbers, obviously the game plan, I think, has to be run Nick Chubb, run D'Ernest Johnson. We'll see about Kareem Hunt, how his status is. Obviously, like I said, I'm recording this Wednesday, so we have 4 days or so until the game, so he can get back, he can get healthy, hopefully, and give the Browns not just a 1-2 punch, but hopefully a 1-2-3 punch, you know, like they did in Green Bay. They just dominated rushing the ball. So Steelers D, obviously led by TJ Watt, leading the league right now in sacks. I think, I have to double check on this, but I think he has 16 and a half sacks. So him and Myles Garrett, along with a few other players, you know, the Dallas DB, and, you know, maybe Aaron Donald and a few others might be up for Defensive Player of the Year, but not too many others. Maybe Michael Parsons even on that Cowboys defense as well. Real quick, so let's go over the to-do list for the Browns, what they need to do. Here's the checklist. We talked about this on our last show, but last week the Browns needed the Bengals to beat the Ravens. That happened. They needed the Chiefs to beat the Steelers. That happened. So check those two first boxes off. Done. Okay, let's move on. They need the Ravens, who will play the Los Angeles Rams, and are the Rams are a 3-point favorite in that game. They need Baltimore to either lose to the Rams or to the Pittsburgh Steelers in game, the final game of the season. So, you know, they lose to the Rams this weekend. You check that box. We move on. You know, Lamar Jackson, I saw, just returned to practice today. So he most likely will play in that game, but you never know. With an ankle injury, things can flare up, but he is a gamer, and I expect him to play. And I expect that to be a close game, but I do expect the Rams to win. But, you know, we'll see. It's in Baltimore. It's a 1 o'clock kick for a West Coast team traveling over to the East Coast. The Chiefs will play the first-place Cincinnati Bengals. Let me say that again. The first-place Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals are 9-6, so hopefully the Chiefs, who are the hottest team in the league right now, I think they have won 8 in a row, sitting at 11-4. They have clinched a playoff berth, but they have not clinched the number one seed, so that gives them something to play for. So the Chiefs, I believe, are around a 4-point favorite in that game. So the Los Angeles Rams beat the Ravens. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Cincinnati Bengals. Those are on the wish list for Cleveland Browns fans this weekend. Also, you got to handle your business. So if those two things happen and the Browns can handle their business, beat the Steelers on Monday, and then we'll have a home game to finish out the year versus the Cincinnati Bengals. If those two things happen, Browns win the division, Browns get probably the fourth seed in the playoffs, and we'll have a home game. Even you finish 9-8, you get a home game, and you take your chances. So the Browns won 11 games and just barely got in the playoffs last year. Maybe they get lucky and have 9 wins and get in this year. And then you get in the playoffs, you got a good defense, you got a strong running game. No one's going to want to face you. So, I know Baker Mayfield's been under the heavy, heavy scrutiny lately, and for good reason. You know, 3 of those 4 picks were just awful on Christmas Day versus the Packers, but the Browns were right in that game. Last interception, I give him a little bit of leeway. Obviously, we know that holding call or pass interference, whatever you want to say, was blown by the refs, but you got to move on. You can't make excuses. Browns, go out and handle your business, and hope for some good luck out of the Rams and the Chiefs. So you do that, you're AFC North champs, and we'll see who we get in the playoffs. All right, moving on. So here is a look real quick at the playoff picture. The Kansas City Chiefs, as I mentioned, first seed right now in the AFC. Tennessee sitting at 10-5. Cincinnati sitting at 9-6. Buffalo sitting at 9-6. Those are your division leaders. The Colts are 9-6. The New England Patriots are 9-6. And Baltimore hanging on by the skin of their teeth, 8-7, to that final wild card spot. The Chargers, Vegas, Pittsburgh, Miami now moves up with those 8-7 teams. They got the W on Monday night. By the way, in that's a very interesting stat in that Miami game. Miami is the first team in NFL history to lose 7 games in a season and also win 7 consecutive games in a season. So very interesting there. And they took on the Saints, who were just beat up and had a ton of guys out with COVID. And in that game, Ian Book, former Notre Dame quarterback, their third stringer, maybe even fourth stringer this year, was the first player in NFL history named Ian to take the field in an NFL game. So interesting stat there. And you got the Browns in Denver hanging tough there. So the Browns can pretty much put to bed any thoughts of a wild card spot, but you got to go out and win that AFC North and, handle your business. And finally, as we close out, I want to just say rest in peace to John Madden. I think any kid, boy, girl, young, old that likes football has probably at one point in their life. Now, I haven't played Madden football in a long time, but, that was a staple of mine growing up, in high school and through college. It was just fun, play with your friends, hang out. And the game, the video game level was taken to a new level by John Madden, who, going way, way back to the early 90s, put his stamp on that. But he just passed away this week, and want to say rest in peace to him. And not only was he a great broadcaster, took the video game realm to a next level, but also the coach with the highest win percentage in NFL history, 103-32-7, which gives him a 7.59 win percentage, which is tops of all time above Vince Lombardi and George Allen, two absolute legends of the game. So John Madden, rest in peace. And I say this in jokingness, but in good fun too. John Madden was someone that I think, Sunday you could just kind of rest on that you were going to hear his voice probably in that late afternoon game on Fox, and then going into the Monday night football game. But you just you knew that was football. That was the sound of football when you heard his voice. And one of his major partners was Pat Summerall for a long, long time. And there's been stories that Pat Summerall was kind of a drinker, even drank on the job. And but he always had a smooth sounding voice, and John was a little bit rougher, but made it more fun, circling everything and just commentating as a fan would. But I thought it was funny because Pat sounded sober and John sounded a little bit drunk, but John was the classic football guy, the ultimate announcer, and will be greatly, greatly missed. Rest in peace to John Madden. And with that said, here's to a great weekend of football. Go Rams, go Chiefs, go Browns. Everybody have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
The Sweeney year-end marathon is on. No matter where you leased your GM vehicle, we accept all Buick, Cadillac, Chevrolet, and GMC returns.
Now it's even better. If we buy your car, we'll cut you a check for
$2,000. $2,000 whether you purchased it from Sweeney or not.
Plus, we'll waive your disposition fees.
Text or call 330-SWEENEY or click SweeneyCars.com.
Sweeney Chevrolet Buick GMC on Market Street in Boardman.